I found it wonderfully easy to forget about the stallion over the days and weeks that followed, except when my defences were down. At least once a night it thundered through my dreams with gaping nostrils and a flying mane, and I developed an uncomfortable habit of coming bolt awake at 5 o'clock in the morning and starting immediately to operate on the horse. On an average, I took that tumour off 20 times before breakfast each morning. I told myself it would be a lot easier to fix the job up and get it over. What was I waiting for, anyway? Was there a subconscious hope that if I put it off long enough, something would happen to get me off the hook? The tumour might fall off, or shrink away and disappear, or the horse might drop down dead. I could have passed the whole thing on to Siegfried. He was good with horses, but my confidence was low enough without that. All my doubts were resolved one morning when Mr. Wilkinson came on the phone. He wasn't in the least upset at the long delay, but he made it quite clear that he could wait no longer. "You see, I want to sell this horse, young man, but I can't let him go with that thing on him, can I?" My journey to Wilkinson's wasn't enlivened by the familiar clatter of the tray on the back seat. It reminded me of the last time when I was wondering what was ahead of me. This time, I knew. Stepping out of the car, I felt almost disembodied. It was like walking a few inches above the ground. I was greeted by a reverberating din from the loose box, the same angry whinnies and splintering crashes I'd heard before. I tried to twist my stiff face into a smile as the farmer came over. "My chaps are getting a halter on him," he said, but his words were cut short by an enraged squealing from the box and 2 tremendous blows against the wooden sides. I felt my mouth going dry. The noise was coming nearer. Then the stable doors flew open, and the great horse catapulted out into the yard, dragging 2 big fellows along on the end of the halter shank. The cobbles struck sparks from the men's boots as they slithered about, but they were unable to stop the stallion backing and plunging. I imagine I could feel the ground shudder under my feet as the hooves crashed down. At length, after much manoeuvring, the men got the horse standing with his offside against the wall of the barn. One of them looped the twitch onto the upper lip and tightened it, expertly. The other took a firm grip on the halter and turned towards me. "Ready for you now, sir?" I pierced the rubber cap on the bottle of cocaine, withdrew the plunger of the syringe, and watched the clear fluid flow into the glass barrel. 7, 8, 10 cc's. If I could get that in, the rest would be easy, but my hands were trembling. Walking up to the horse was like watching an action from a film. It wasn't really me doing this, the whole thing was unreal. The near side eye flickered dangerously at me as I raised my left hand and passed it over the muscles of the neck, down the smooth, quivering flank, and along the abdomen till I was able to grasp the tumour. I had the thing in my hand now, the lobulations firm and lumpy under my fingers. I pulled gently downwards, stretching the brown skin, joining the growth to the body. I would put the local in there. A few good wheels. It wasn't going to be so bad. The stallion laid back his ears and gave a warning whicker. I took a long, careful breath, brought up the syringe with my right hand, placed the needle against the skin, then thrust it in. The kick was so explosively quick that at first I felt only surprised that such a huge animal could move so swiftly. It was a lightning outward slash that I never even saw, and the hoof struck the inside of my right thigh, spinning me round helplessly. When I hit the ground, I lay still, feeling only a curious numbness. Then I tried to move, and a stab of pain went through my leg. When I opened my eyes, Mr. Wilkinson was bending over me. "Are you all right, Mr. Elliot?" The voice was anxious. "I don't think so." I was astonished at the matter-of-fact sound of my own words, but stranger still was the feeling of being at peace with myself for the first time for weeks. I was calm and completely in charge of the situation. "I'm afraid not, Mr. Wilkinson. You'd better put the horse back in his box for now. We'll have a go at him another day. And I wonder if you'd ring Mr. Farnham to come and pick me up. I don't think I'll be able to drive." My leg wasn't broken, but it developed a massive hematoma at the point of impact, and then the whole limb blossomed into an unbelievable range of colours, from delicate orange to deepest black. I was still hobbling like a Crimean veteran when a fortnight later, Siegfried and I, with a small army of helpers, went back, roped the stallion, chloroformed him, and removed that little growth. I have a cavity in the muscle of my thigh to remind me of that day. But some good came out of the incident. I found that the fear is worse than the reality, and horsework has never worried me as much since then.